Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
12, 11.
What are we running here? A cadet ship number one? Are we ready or not?
10, 9. Ignition sequence start.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Ready to move up.
6, 5.
All decks are ready, sir.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Engage.
All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Just coming down the road, but we are coming across the airways. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live from blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight's show title is the English Defence League radio show, The Dark and the Light. I've got to thank Dave for absolutely awesome slides this evening, and a great script, Dave. Once again, thank you for all your time and effort that you spend sorting these issues out. Let me start the script. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Steph Spiner-Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador-Milner. Tonight we will present you with two extremes. The darkness of the fake stream media as it enables the death cult of Islam, and the light of hope offered by the few politicians who have not yet bended the knee to fascism. Our civil liberties depend on unmasking the dark forces and supporting true freedom fighters in public life. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So without further ado, I'd like to pass it over to my dear friend, my colleague, Dave. Good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to you and your good people of the United States and, of course, across the globe. I hope you're keeping well, my dear friend.
Good evening, Jeff. Good evening, everybody in the UK. And good afternoon to everybody in the States. Hello to everybody around the world and, of course, off Earth. Hey, guys, we do have a big show with some good main stories. But first, Jeff has a statement that he'd like to read. And I'd like to say, having read it myself, that Jeff is speaking for me as well concerning the United States of America. You guys will know what I'm talking about when Jeff is done. Jeff, back over to you, brother.
Thank you, Dave. I'll just let you know, guys, that I was sitting by a computer last night, and it's just came to me, and I thought I just had to say this. So I can't say, as I sit here tonight, like many of you, as this COVID-19 runs right across the globe, and looking at the devastation from the unseen enemy, is affecting so many people. I must, of course, thank our warriors on the front line, true heroes, every single man and woman who are giving it all they have got to save people's lives. And sadly, some heroes are succumbing to this deadly enemy. Sadly, we will see much more of these sad times for a while, but hopefully in the not too distant future, this plague will be over, and then we can reflect on this time, and also as nations mourn for those that have made the ultimate sacrifice. I hope that every hero on the front line of this war receives a special medal for their fortitude, bravery and courage at a time when the people needed them to fight for them. I'd like to also name this hashtag Medal for Heroes. So let's get this rolling, guys. May you all keep safe. God bless the NHS and, of course, the great people that's doing all they possibly can in the United States and across the globe. I just want to add that. And to all that are serving our nations, no surrender. We will prevail. And with that, Dave, I'd like to pass it back to you. Yeah, it's hard times. It's hard because we're seeing the ones that put all their all. Sadly, one of them, the nurses was a 54-year-old lady that died unfortunately through this COVID. An Essex lady, believe it or not, though. That makes me sad, man. That makes me sad. And I know you've got, Dave, I know in the United States, a lot of your nurses have succumbed, and I know a lot of doctors as well. You know, our thoughts and our prayers go out to them, and in our eyes, they'll always be heroes. That's all we can say, that these are the best of the best. These are the... We live at this war that we have, Dave. It's something we haven't experienced. Normally, when we go to war, it's the fight that you've got an enemy that you can see. This is a war like we've never seen or ever experienced. And those on the front lines are our doctors, our nurses, our first responders, all taking chances with their own lives, putting their own lives on the line, on their line to save others. What a noble cause, these dear people. And I know I've had people working on me for the National Service. What can I say, Dave? If it wasn't for them, probably wouldn't be here today. So, and they're fighting once again to save so many people. But Dave, your thoughts, my dear friend.
As I said, Jeff, and naturally, I mirror your thoughts concerning these people. And, of course, let's not forget the people who are going out there and despite all this, serving us. And that includes city workers, people like sanitation workers, bin men over there in the UK, people working at service jobs in the stores, the shops, people like that, people that go out there in this and who are serving the public on a daily basis. I just want to say, look, some people may think that I'm callous because I am looking for the truth behind what caused this, why we have to shut our countries down. I don't believe that we do have to. There are some things that are coming out now concerning some of the death numbers and things of that nature. We are hearing that Italy has been inflating theirs. Yesterday I heard that New York was inflating some of theirs. They're just basically saying if someone dies of anything that looks like it's any kind of upper respiratory distress, they're just saying, oh, yeah, just knock it, just bring it down to the Wuhan. And I just want to say this, Jeff. That was, okay, Friday, all right, was the 3rd of April, all right? And that's when this stuff started to come out via other conservative show hosts. And sometimes, guys, you have an instinct about things like this. I haven't studied this stuff for going on 51 years for nothing. And that's why on March the 26th, I tweeted out the following in my account on Twitter, in both of my accounts on Twitter, UBG Contact and my other one. How much can we rely on COVID-19 numbers from New York State, where Andrew Cuomo is backed by a loyal staff of leftists and being obviously groomed through media exposure to be, quote, drafted, end quote, to run against President Trump, hashtag PC kills. All right. Now, despite the fact that I'm willing to go out there and ask these difficult questions, all right, that some people don't want to be asked, okay, you see things, Jeff, you see things like Sweden now, that people are bagging on Sweden because Sweden isn't following along as we showed you guys on Thursday. They're not following along with the let's just shut our countries down thing. They're actually quarantining the sick people instead of quarantining our entire countries. In my opinion, they're doing it right. Now, I'm going to keep on talking about that and talking about how we could have done this differently. We should have done this differently. But never let it be said that I am downplaying the impact of the deaths that have occurred even one bit. I'm after the truth. And in my opinion, doing what we have done, all of our countries, following one model from one school that is frankly questionable as far as their motives go, has caused deaths, perhaps more deaths than would have been caused had we been doing what Sweden is doing as far as this goes. Okay? That doesn't mean, though, that I'm a callous piece of garbage that does not believe that every death means something to someone. All right. So I just wanted to bring that clear, Jeff. And if you have any comments after that, I'd like to go ahead after that and read a couple of petitions that we have and get this show started. You ready?
Yeah. No, all I want to say is if only you know, the United States would have had the true facts and figures instead of the lies and the deception which China spun out. The death and destruction that's going on across this globe could have been stopped very quickly. It would have saved all the grief and all the distress of people without their family members that we're seeing there. I don't know if you'd agree with that, Dave. I do believe that if the Chinese would have been open and honest, things wouldn't have been half as bad as they've become, which is affected, think of this number, guys, 151 other countries. This is global. This is massive, if only. And they've got to be, Dave, these are, They were sending us, Dave. The Chinese sent us supplies of these testing kits with COVID-19 infected. Got to be an accountable price to be paid when we have resolved this issue. That's what I wanted to say, because it's got to be stated. If we, the West, all of us, would have known, we would have probably been able to get on top, probably been even able to help out. The Chinese sent some of our own people over there to help them. You know, and but here we are, you know, as I say, you know, it's like locking the stable door when the horse is bolted, isn't it, Dave? But, and hindsight, et cetera, et cetera. But, Dave, let me pass it back to you. Well said, brother, as usual, Dave.
All right.
Well
and,
said.
Well, thank you, man. And, yeah, I mean, obviously that's another aspect of this. If the lefties are taking advantage of this to become little junior model Hitlers, it's only because their buddies, the communist Chinese, have been manipulating this from the beginning. And, of course, they don't care how many of their own people that they kill. In fact, it would do them a favor. But, yeah, still, guys, we're going to get to this show here. And we do have some things. One thing you can bet on, okay, we have at the English Defense League radio show have not forgotten the basic mission of the English Defense League. And we're going to definitely talk about some of that. First, a bit of a programming note, though, for you guys. All right. Next Sunday, we're going to have our Easter show, of course. And then we'll have a program the Thursday after that. And, of course, this coming Thursday, we'll have one, too. Right. But after that, we'll go on vacation after the 17th of April. We'll have a show on Thursday the 16th. And then we'll come back on May the 3rd. Brand new show. All right, guys. So, you know, and the shows you're going to hear four shows from the past of the EDUO radio show. All right. You're going to hear one from about a month in 2012. Okay. Because we're almost at the 8 year mark, guys. We're almost at the 8 year mark. And you're going to hear one from 2014, which was the second anniversary show. There'll be a lot of old friends you'll hear from. And then one from 2016. It'll be it'll be the Three Musketeers, Jeff, myself, and Jan, and maybe one or two others. And then we'll have one from 2018. You guys are going to want to listen to these because it shows the evolution of the program up to the point. Yeah, guys, when we come back on May the 3rd and do our show, it won't be, but maybe about 20 or so days. And then we'll be at the 8th anniversary of the English Defense League radio show. Good on you, Jeff. And, guys, you're going to want to hear this.
That's right.
Now, yeah, it'll be good, guys.
So many demos, Dave. You know, so many memories.
So much fun,
and
Jeff.
We are not finished yet. We've not finished yet. We're still here. I'm still here. Dave's still here. I don't know. There's thousands of you out there, our foot soldiers and angels. God bless you, because we know that you're there. We'll always know you're there. back to you, Dave.
All right, man. Yeah. It's gonna be good. Jeff and I are gonna be chilling. I know. Jeff's neighbors think that he's somehow getting a special dispensation to go into the Bahamas. Brother man's been sitting out in the sun all day. looking
oh,
good,
man.
Jeff. Yeah. All right.
Oh.
We're gonna get to.
I've been to the Bahamas, Dave.
Jeff.
Sorry, Dave.
Yeah. No. It's all good, man. It's all good. You know. But Jeff is gonna get some more time away, and you know, I'm gonna get a little bit of my own time as well. But we need to begin. All right. And the first thing we need to do is talk about a couple of petitions here that you guys living in the UK. Definitely need to sign in on. And the first one is called Deport Omar. And if you guys have been with us for the past few weeks, listen to our shows, you know that this is an illegal alien from the Gambia that came here and committed some crimes and was Tommy Robinson, the man they called a bystander in the news, because I can't stand to to mention his name alongside anything good that he did. Basically rescued an old couple and an older lady from being harassed and attacked, basically, by, a bio attack. This Scuzzball and his two little buddies were coughing in their faces and spitting on them and things of that nature. And these days, with the Wuhan virus around, that's bio warfare. So he's got a petition out at tr.news. I'm going to read you guys the URL, but first, just to update you, 22,218 signatures so far. So if you live in the UK, go to the following URL and give this petition a sign. We have it's https://www.tr.news/deportOmar. That's all one word and then another slash. Now we've got another one as well. As I said before, guys, we don't forget the mission of the English Defense League here on the EDL radio, but even during this Wuhan virus thing. And Jeff will have a word or two to say after this, I'm sure. Okay. There is another petition that that we have, and this will go right into the next story we're going to hit, guys, when I'm done with this. All right. Now, this is a petition. It's gone over 100,000 signatures. Okay. And the name of the petition is Release the Home Office's Grooming Gang Review in Full. Okay, and it's already up to 119,937, so Parliament will consider it for debate. Now, we don't know when that's going to be, but guys, the more signatures, you guys live in the UK, we can get on this, you can get on this, the more impact it's going to have, even through this Wuhan virus thing. Don't let them sweep this under the rug, guys. Now, Jeff, I know you're going to have a word or two to say about this before we get into our next story, brother.
Well, yeah, as I've said before, just sign it. This groat needs to be removed. He's a low-life scumbag. He was on bail for game. In fact, I think they put him back. They've remanded him. Because being bail, he's broke his bail conditions, isn't he? He's been out causing crimes, attacking the general public, basically. And of course, attacking a passerby who stopped to intervene. Yes, the passerby being our very own Mr. Tommy Robinson. And it smashed his back car window and put the fear of life into his children. Thank goodness his children had the fortitude and to use the video phone to capture what was going on. He's brought up his kids really well, but they shouldn't need to be seeing this crap, should they? Their dad being sort of attacked by these thugs who Tommy was trying to protect and tell him, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, coughing and spitting over old people. What are you doing? And that's what he did. And of course, he got attacked because he was being a true hero. Tommy is a legend amongst the people, and that's all he's doing. And Tommy always ends up with someone trying to give him a slap. Tommy can look after himself, but it's never right for his children to see the violence of these people. And I remember Tommy saying at the video, now, you don't want to grow up and be like these people. He said that to his son. You don't want to grow up to be something like these. And that is a father to his son. That was an amazing thing that Tommy did to his son. This is for future reference, isn't it, Dave? How about you, Bob?
All right, man. Well, yeah, that is definitely a thing, and thank you for bringing that up. And guys, don't let them sweep this under the rug. Don't let them let that scuzzball stay. And weasel out and somehow get back on the street with his two little scuzzo friends and terrify that neighborhood. And we know that's going on. That sort of thing is going on all over the UK. And it happens here in the United States, too. All right. Now, guys, we're going the grooming gang review thing. okay, gets right into what we're going to talk about here, okay? Because these grooming gangs are nothing more than rape gangs. We know this. Now, I had found earlier a story that Jeff and I were going to read. We were going to tag team it. Jeff was going to read it, read part of it, and his voice began to give out. I was going to read it as well. Turns out that neither one of us has to, but if you guys want to reference the audios that you're about to hear, we have two audios ready to go. All right, if you want to reference the two audios, okay, you can go to tr.news, and there is a story here. All right, and the headline on it is "The Majority of Type 1 Child Rape Offenders Are Muslim." All right, and that one you can find at tr.news. So that will be there for your reference. We're not going to read that article because the We Got a Problem guy spent 18 minutes doing a pretty darned credible job of covering the article that has caused so much dismay and, dare I say, a little bit of outrage among the people who know what this child rape gang nonsense is all about. And, of course, it's not nonsense to call them child rape gangs. It's very real, and Islam is behind it, okay? And Jeff and I will have a chance to discuss this, obviously, at the halfway point after the first audio. Jeff, if you'd like to check in the chat to see if there's anybody in there first before I start begin playing.
Yeah, it's probably there right now. Let's check
right.
What he's about.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we're okay. Yes, we're
right.
Okay. I thought somebody just stopped him, but no, I was wrong. I was wrong.
All right, good. All right, good. And if you guys want to be in the chat room when we podcast live on Thursdays and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States, just go to blogtalkradio.com, find the top center white search box, type in English Defense League Radio, follow the links, and you'll eventually get to the page. You'll have to register with blogtalkradio.com, but you can get in there and get into the chat. Jeff will give you a wave and maybe even read some of your comments during the show. But, guys, we're going to go ahead with this. Now, this is from the We Got a Problem guy, and I do recommend that you guys subscribe to his YouTube channel. I just hope he starts getting his stuff on BitChute very soon. But this is part one of this. This is one that he recorded on the 3rd, a couple of days ago, and you guys will really get the gist of what we're talking about here. Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to rock and roll with this.
Yeah, let's go, Doug.
All right. This will be just over 9 minutes long. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Welcome to the video, guys. It looks like we've found the number one race baiter for the Metro newspaper, who has decided to tell David Lammy and Diane Abbott to hold her beer and trying to take that crown for the UK's number one race baiter. Because, of course, being number one at the Metro is not enough. Now, her angle of attack to take this crown is to try and claim that the grooming gang situation has nothing to do with Asian or Pakistani men, and it's actually something that is done by predominantly white men, where she has used completely unreliable statistics that are around 10 years old to make her baseless claims in an attempt to take the heat off the Pakistani community and place it on the white community of this country. Rather than calling out the dirty animals for what they did, she essentially defends them by laying the blame elsewhere. Which, by you can see, even just a few hours ago, she's posted more race-baiting nonsense that we're not going to look at. You can see here, every time she's retweeted her article, which we will take a look at in a moment, the tweet has been ratioed, dramatically ratioed there, which is the one she posted herself, which we'll take a look at in a moment, along with some of the comments. Ratioed even there, though it's not exactly the same article, but generally you can see everything she does is literally about race. Now here we have her actual tweet with the article that, like I just showed you, got heavily ratioed, 500 likes to 1,300 comments. There is no Asian or Muslim problem when it comes to grooming gangs. It's the number one comment thrown at me when I write about Islamophobia or racism. The numbers say otherwise. To say it's an intrinsically Muslim problem is lazy, offensive, and inaccurate. No, it's actually not. Because we are talking about actual grooming gangs. Groups of people doing this in the open, not individuals doing it to a single child. I mean, the wording used is kind of a giveaway. Grooming gangs. That is more than one person, obviously. Now, this response to her tweet brings up what I was saying perfectly. Most white paedophiles live in fear of being discovered, as the white community, and any other part of the community actually, will sort them out. Many Muslims justified their behaviour because they were white slags or non-Muslims. I find your figures very questionable. They are actual government figures, but like I said, they're 10 years old. Though he is absolutely spot on that these people try to justify it because they're just white girls, meaning it's a racial crime. Though obviously, you will never get Fanny Baker here to say that, let's be honest. And as for the figures, they are obviously questionable for the reason of, like I said, they're well out of date, but also for the fact that the police, councils and governments have been covering this up. Which was pointed out in this reply by Jojo, exactly what happened in Rotherham. Covered up and swept under the carpet. 1,400 girls, some as young as 12, raped, abused and pimped out. I have personal experience of it, and your dismissal of the gangs makes me physically sick. All of these people are doing this because of their cultural norms, based around, obviously, their religion. Which was pointed out in this tweet with a little video accompanying it that we'll take a look at.
And unfortunately, the police and local councils have been complicit in covering up this scandal.
Was it?
Yeah.
Time and time again, they have found that British, Pakistani and Bangladeshi South Asian Muslim men like me have been involved in grooming underage white girls and targeting them in what I would describe as racially motivated sexual assault. And for fear of racism, the local politicians for fear of losing votes, and the police for fear of being sacked by those local politicians have been hiding this situation. And of course, then it led to a national inquiry. We know that because the conclusions of the national inquiry were the same. I'm going to read to you something, because Telford could well be worse than what happened in Rotherham and Rochdale. And yet still, despite that, we have the superintendent for Telford and Wrekin, Tom Harding, saying the following. He said that what I would say is sexual offending across Telford and Wrekin is virtually identically proportionate to the breakdown of society, so it's not one particular section over others. Forgive the language, the French, but this is total BS, because he's confusing two types of sexual offences. We as Quilliam looked into this, and I'm going to come to the stats in a second.
I know you've done a lot of, and you've done a lot of broadcasting. You're a real pillar in this area, I have to say. Salute what you've done.
Thank you. Type one is the grooming of underage white girls, or any girl generally is type one as a category, the grooming of underage girls by gangs of men. Now, in type one, where the grooming gangs are involved, it was found in our research that we found, I'm going to put this up on the screen for you, that 84% of those involved in type one, which is gang grooming of underage girls, were, what it says there, South Asian. To be specific, they were Pakistani and Bangladeshi Muslims, right? Type two, which is, I hate to use the phrase, ordinary paedophilia, what we normally understand by the word paedophilia, is representative of wider society. So one statistic found it was about 87% in type 2, which was paedophiles, 87% were white. Another found 100% were white. But of course, that's not surprising because the vast majority of the country is white. What's interesting is the disproportionate figure of 84% hailing from my background. Why that's interesting is because roughly only 2% of the country are Pakistani.
So sorry, Fanny Baker, what was you saying there? That is a Muslim himself who has done the research on this, pointing out the facts. 5% of the country are participating in the open grooming of white girls in massive groups together. You know, a grooming gang. But I also take it that Fanny thinks that Sajid Javid here is also racist for what he said when he initiated the grooming gang report that they have since covered up, obviously.
And the sad truth is that if you look at recent high-profile convictions of gang-based child sexual exploitation, there's a majority of people that come from Pakistani heritage backgrounds. And the sad truth is that if you look at recent high-profile convictions of gang-based child sexual exploitation, there's a majority of people that come from Pakistani heritage backgrounds.
So, you got two people from the heritage that we are talking about there, calling this out for what it is. Yet, you have the audacity to sit there and claim that they are wrong and it's racist to say that, instead pushing the blame off onto white people. Which takes us to her actual nonsensical article, which is, I think you will agree once we go through it, complete bullshit. It headlines, "The majority of sexual offenders are white men. There is no Muslim problem with sexual grooming." Well, given we've just heard the evidence of that, I would suggest already that this article is a load of bullshit, which we already knew anyway. And there it says, lifestyle reporter Fanny Bakker, or whatever her name is, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Our series, The State of Racism, has been running over the past 6 weeks to illuminate just how prevalent racism is in the UK. Yet, I would suggest that you are likely one of these so-called racists. Given that everything you seem to tweet about on your Twitter is related to race, I would suggest that's definitely possible. You're either the Diane Abbott or David Lammy of the Metro newspaper, or we could even call you the Ash the Car. Next thing you'll know, you'll be telling us that you're winning.
In London, the white British population has decreased by 600,000, while the minority population has increased by 1.2 million. So, yes lads, we're winning.
But every time I have written about Muslims, I have received one reoccurring comment on my Facebook, Twitter, emails, and in the article comments. What about the grooming gangs? Yes, what about them? Though, they probably shouldn't ask you, because they won't get the truth, as we see in this article. Why is this brought up every time I mention an obstacle faced by Muslims? Do the crimes of a few speak for all Muslims? No, no one is saying that every single Muslim out there runs around doing this. We're just saying that it's a big problem within the community to the point where, like you heard, 80% of this type of crime is committed by 5% of the country, or less than 5% of the country, should we say less than 0.5% of the country, because obviously not all Muslims are doing this, it will be a select few, but given that there are so few in the country in comparison to white people, for instance, it's obviously a really big problem.
And welcome back to the English Fantastic Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, brother, your views?
Yeah.
So far.
As we've known over the years, we know that the mainstream media tried to hide it. We know that the police have tried to hide the facts. And how many years we've been talking about what's going on in, you know, predominantly small minority, all this grooming and raping in these gangs, it's so bad across the country. I mean, in this country alone, I mean, it's we know over a million plus girls and boys, not just girls but boys, have been sexually groomed and raped. Or rape jihad, whatever you want to call it. And of course, when we call it out for what it is, oh, you're bigoted, you're racist, you're this, you're that, because we know the truth. No matter what they try to do to try to bury these things, people like myself, people like Dave, the other gentleman who's doing the video, we're going to call them out, we're going to keep calling them out, and it's what we do. And we'll expose them every step of the way. And we have been pretty good at doing that as well. There you go. I'll give you an eyesight on that. Look at Rotherham. That highlighted it big time, didn't it? Hey, there you go. The council had to basically step down. The police commissioner, well, he had to do one as well. People were camping outside his door. Make sure that he stepped down. See, in the end, and we still know this grooming is going on still after all this time, it continues, and there's the cover-ups, and there's other people on their committees, their council committees, who are just covering it up. When will it end? Yeah. We'll keep pushing it, though, won't we, Dave? Back to you, buddy.
Well, yeah, Jeff, you're absolutely right. And of course, let's not forget the jokes of the sentences that these guys get when they do manage to get them to court and to get them convicted. The sentences they get, as I said, are just basically jokes. I mean, it turns into something on the order of 2 years for destroying young people's lives. I mean, destroying their lives. All right, and that's just something that should never be. But I'm going to reserve the rest of my comments because I do have a slight disagreement with the We Got a Problem guy. Not on the fundamentals, but on how he thinks Islam is involved in this or the depth of the involvement of Islam in this. I have a slight disagreement with him on that. But, Jeff, if you want to check the chat, I'm ready to play the next part of this. This will probably be also running into the time where you're going to need to call back. Yeah.
Hey, we've got Bigfoot. He's saying, hi, Jeff, and hi, Agador. There you go. Good to see you, Bigfoot. Hope you're keeping well, my dear friend. Good to see you, mate. There you go, Dave.
All right. Yes, hello, Biggie. And that's Bigfoot's place at blogspot.com. That's his blog. And, Biggie, welcome to the show. We always appreciate you in the chat, brother. Okay. So, guys, we're going to go ahead with the second one. And, Jeff, I don't know whether you want to call in back in while this is going on or what you want to do. But this is about
I'm okay at the moment, Dave. Give it a, hopefully we can go through this. And when that second part finishes, then I can call back and maybe then comment after I call back,
Yeah, that's fine, Jeff. Okay. All right, guys, this is going to be about 9 minutes and 15 or so seconds, just under. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. This is from the We Got a Problem guy from YouTube. That was done on the 3rd. This is the second part of this. Okay, here we go.
It seems this constant bleating about Muslim grooming gangs is specifically being used to shut down important discussions about Islamophobia. No, it's a made-up word at the end of the day. No one can have an irrational fear of Islam. It doesn't make any sense. And while it's difficult to measure the ethnicity of sexual offenders, there is clear evidence in many reports that the majority have been white men, not Asian Muslims. Around 85% of offenders found guilty of sexual activity with a minor in England and Wales in 2011 were white, while 4% were Asian. Because you've just gone for very broad figures there that don't take down these crimes into their categories, which is what we are talking about. The grooming gang crimes are classed as a different thing to the usual paedophilia-related crimes, as you heard in Majid's piece. Like we said, it's 80% of crimes committed by less than 5% of the country. Then we also have to factor in that the police and many government and council organisations have been covering this up, ignoring it or blaming the victims for it, therefore not taking any action and not being any records, meaning any figures you get, even if they were up to date from today, are going to be completely wrong. And let's be honest, when these figures were taken, if memory serves, we were right in the middle of the period when the police were literally covering up grooming gangs because they didn't want to be called racist. Which I think you will agree is a ridiculous thing to do. If there was groups of white men roaming around targeting young girls from any ethnicity, it doesn't matter what ethnicity there was, there would be absolute outrage and the police would be on it like a shot. Because it was a group of Muslims, they tried to cover it up through fear of being called racist. To say it's an intrinsically Muslim problem is a lazy, transparent tactic, and the inaccuracies behind these claims need to be dismantled in order to move the conversation on. No one's saying it's an intrinsically Muslim problem, it's an intrinsically human problem it would seem, it happens around the world. But the grooming gangs, as you heard, are mostly Pakistani Muslim. That is a fact of life, I'm sorry if you don't like it. And I mean, let's not forget, we have this article from 2016 relating to the marriage of girls in Pakistan. That says the current minimum age for marriage is 16 years old for women and 18 years old for men. This law, stipulated in the Child Marriage Restriction Act of 1929, has been ruled by the CII as non-compliant with Islamic law. In May 2014, the council reiterated its earlier ruling that girls as young as 9 years old were eligible for marriage if signs of puberty are visible. Which, let me tell you now, there is no white country I have ever heard of, or any other race country for that matter, that allows 9-year-old girls to be married, sign of puberty or not. It's fucking disgusting. So please don't come to me saying it's lazy or a transparent tactic, because what you're saying there is lazy and transparent. It took me 2 seconds to pull up that article of Pakistan's laws and the way a Muslim body is trying to take it down and make the legal age 9 years old. So, while it is also an intrinsically human problem, it would seem the Muslim religion is one of the ones that is going the furthest in relation to marrying children or, of course, consummating that marriage, which we know they will do. Grooming gangs are only depicted to be an Asian or Muslim problem because of a few high-profile cases and the media's penchant to over-report certain types of stories. Oh, so I guess Sajid Javid and Majid Nawaz are both wrong then, even though one of them has done the research, and I'm sure Sajid Javid, as a government minister, had much more information than we did. Like I said, 80% from 5% has got nothing to do with the media hyping it up, let me tell you that. Here she blames it about racial stereotypes, which is just nonsense. Secondly, because the most oft-cited cases of sexual grooming involve white working class girls and women. That's got absolutely nothing to do with it. In the sexual exploitation cases of Rochdale and Rotherham in Yorkshire, there was extraordinary neglect against the mostly white victims aged 12 to 16. How they were treated was largely due to classism and misogyny. Oh my days. So it wasn't actually racism on the part of these Muslim grooming gangs against these white girls, it was just classism and misogyny. Can you actually believe this shit? I mean, let's be honest here, how can you call this classism when 99% of these Muslim grooming gang members would have also been part of the so-called working class themselves? So I don't see how it could be classism, and misogyny has got no meaning to these people. They come from Pakistan for f**k's sake and the Muslim faith, which thinks women are beneath them anyway. So misogyny is just another made up word, especially to them. But you can see here, she is essentially blaming the girls and their upbringing for the reason why they were raped, or at least it seems that way to me. The girls were from working class backgrounds, which is often thought to signify laziness or fecklessness. No, only among the woke liberals like yourself, and of course these Muslim grooming gangs, though they think ill of white people for many other reasons than laziness or fecklessness. And they suffered misogyny, no they didn't, thought to be available, a kind of oppression assigned to anyone who looks like a girl or woman and wears anything suggestive, which is once again trying to blame the girls. Consider this. Had these victims also been of Asian or Muslim descent, would the uproar be the same? Well, perhaps if we know about it. But given it's common practice for many Muslims to marry their cousins, sisters, aunties or whatever, I would say these victims are happening on the Muslim side, but of a different type of sexual exploitation, because it's likely not done by groups, it's just done by one. I've personally heard of many stories of children being married to their uncles, who is like 40 years old, when the girl could be under 16. So there will be many victims from Asian or Muslim descent, as you say. The uproar would be the same if anyone knew about it and it wasn't just accepted in their culture, as we all know it is. We can also ask, if the perpetrators were also white, would their race be mentioned? Well, if it was a gang of white men raping Indian or Asian or Pakistani women, let me tell you something, their race would be mentioned and they would all be called racist for it. The same way these grooming gangs targeting mainly white girls is obviously because of their race and contempt for it. And here we go again with another bit of Muslim defense here. We see the same thing happen in case of terrorism, where attacks by Muslims receive 357% more press attention than when white people do it. That's because more Muslims commit terror attacks than any other race, religion or creed in the world. So I would suggest it receives more press attention because they happen more often. But you can see there, this dopey bin is a number one race baiter, much like David Lammy and of course Diane Abbott, Ash Sarkar and the rest of the liberal left-wing weasel media. And she finishes up there just pointing out about how Yorkshire police admitted to being reluctant to report the men due to fears of racism accusations. I've already covered that. We don't need to read the nonsense she has to say there. We can tell the type of race baiter she is, sitting there essentially defending Muslim grooming gangs and trying to lay the blame off onto white people. Like, don't worry about Muslim grooming gangs. In general, more sexual assault is committed by white people, forgetting, of course, that there are more white people in the country and grooming gangs are under a different classification to general sexual assault and paedophilia. Now before I go, I've started doing live streams and uploading gaming content on my second channel. If you would like to come and join me for a live stream to chat in real time, have an interest in gaming related content on YouTube, or just want to follow me over there because you are a legend, the link will be down in the video description below and as a pinned comment. I hope to see you all there. Now as always, before I go, I want to thank our PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar and YouTube members for supporting the channel, along with everyone who watches my videos. Remember to let me know what you guys think down in the comment section below. Leave a like, subscribe with the notification bell and share this video as it helps the channel a lot. And I will see you all in the next one.
There is a pattern consistent throughout history of oppressed people turning on the oppressors. Slaves against their owners, the peasantry against the feudal barons, colonies, Mr. Verhofstadt, against their empires. And that is why Britain is leaving. And it doesn't matter which language you use, we are going and we are glad to be going. We're off.
And welcome back to the Evening Defense League Radio Show. Jeff, I know you're going to want to call back in.
I love that at the end. I just love that. Okay, we're off. It's a great video, audio, as usual. You know, there's lots of different things I could pick up on. But, Dave, there's something about it that you wanted to talk about. I want to listen to what you had to say, that you wasn't 100% with what he was saying on serving. I'm just curious what you picked up on that you wasn't too happy with. So I've been really looking forward to hearing what it was that that he'd done there, because I couldn't quite. There was a couple of things I picked up, but let me see where you picked up on that he wasn't over happy of what he said.
Right, Jeff. Well, thank you very much, man. If you want to call back in, I can stall for a minute or two and let you do that.
And I'll call back in.
Sure. And what I'll do while Jeff calls back in is do a little translation for our American brothers and sisters, because I know that there are going to be some people who are going to hear that audio and they're going to say, well, they keep on talking about Muslims and white people. They keep on bringing skin color into this, and that's got to be racist and blah, blah, blah. Well, no. Guys, that's not the case. Over in the UK, yes, the majority of Mohammedans are indeed not white, but that does not mean that they're looking at this from a skin color racist viewpoint, all right? First of all, Islam is not a race. And second of all, anybody can be a Muslim. And there are white Muslims. All over the world, there are white Muslims, all right? All you have to do, guys, is to recite the Shahada in front of an imam, and bam, you're a Muslim. There it is. Doesn't have anything to do with skin color. The designations that you hear about in press releases and in news articles and in audios, just like the one that the We Got a Problem guy produced and things of that nature, are unique to the UK and possibly to Europe. But they do not indicate a skin color designation as far as racism goes. Okay, I prefer personally, and when I read news stories, I do this, I generally say Muslim and non-Muslim, because to me, that's the reality of what it is. So that's just a translation for my American brothers and sisters. Now that Jeff is back, I'll go ahead and talk about the slight problem that I had with this very good audio. First of all, I want to compliment the We Got a Problem guy, because he did lay the issue out very well. This woman is obviously trying to work the race-baiting thing, which makes her, of course, a racist, all right? And he laid this out very well. I want to congratulate him on that, all right? But when he said that, well, okay, he did say that not every Muslim in the UK is a part of a rape jihad gang. I think that's the best way to put it. Now, that much is true. They're not part of these gangs, but he also said that it is a big problem in the Muslim community, and he's correct there. Okay? problem I have is that he seemed to indicate that there are Mohammedans in the UK that are more or less innocent in this. And my issue, though, is that if there are Mohammedans that don't approve of this, then it has to be because it is an affront to Islam. Therefore, it is an affront to Muhammad. You would think that there would be people out on the streets marching in protest against these rape jihadis. You would think that the police would have to hire on extra people to take phone calls and have an extra tip line on the net to field all of the calls from Muslims exposing these people. All right? You would think, in fact, given how Mohammedans can be easily sparked to violence, and we've seen examples of this many times, you would think that in some of these neighborhoods, you would see something like about 20, 50, 100 men bringing a guy to a police station, half beaten to death, and throwing him down and saying, arrest this guy, he's involved in this rape jihad, and that is an insult to Muhammad. You'd think you'd see all that, but you're not seeing that. So that tells me that the Muslim community in the UK tacitly is approving of and being an accessory to these crimes by not actively taking part to try and stop them. If it is so few Mohammedans that are doing this, then they should be able to do that. They have the numbers to prevent that if they want to. Jeff, that's the issue that I had with it.
That's a good valid point. That's why I was curious of how you said, because the tape is really quite good. And I'm glad you picked up on that, because I wanted you to come in, because you said that he was pick up on something, so it still was good. I liked what he's saying, the way he's presented. But unfortunately, we've been talking about this for years. This is nothing new ground that he's been breaking. I'll be quite honest with you, Dave. It's no new ground, because we've been talking about this for bloody years, mate. It's always the same old story, isn't it? Yeah, other people YouTube it, put it out, other people. We've been doing this for so long. We'd love to see, actually, something happening. It's, we've seen a lot of things, but, you know, okay, we're putting it out there. The guy's putting it out there. It's great putting things out there. We need to be more constructive, more proactive. Let's get these bastards off the streets and banged up or sent out to where they bloody come from. There you go. I'm telling the way it is, Dave, because it is true. Why should we have to put up with this? Why? But just to give you an heads up, we've got Vorpal Bite that's joined us in the chat, and he's saying, hello, friends, and God bless. And I'll reply to oi, oi, Vorpal Bite, God bless. It's nice to see you, Vorpal. I hope you keep in well, my friend. Back to you, Dave.
Oh, thank you, Jeff, and welcome, Vorpal. All right. Now, guys, we want you to understand that, as Jeff says, we've been covering this stuff for years, and you want to talk about something that's discouraging. To see that action hasn't been taken on it, and as long as we've been covering this, can be very disappointing, and it can really wear you down. But we're not going to let that stop us from covering this deep issue. And I will, despite the fact that I have that very respectful bit of disagreement with the "we got a problem" guy, I'm glad that he did bring it up, and I'm glad that even in this time of Wuhan virus, that he's keeping on with talking about this issue, including the grooming gang review. All right, he's still talking about that. So good on him for that. All right.
It's good to see that we can't deflect from what we've been talking about, yes, we're seeing a national tragedies or national, global tragedies unfolding, but we mustn't get away from what's been going on before this, because one day, as I said, one day this will be over. We'll have time to mourn, and we'll have time to maybe some awesome medals to be handed to the people, even posthumous medals, I would say, Dave, to the people. The great heroes who had put their lives on. But this is still going on. Oh, well, not now. That stopped them dead in their tracks. Well, they got to isolate like the rest of the community. Can't be out there deep into the night time, doing what they've been doing. My goodness me. That's put a stop to their trafficking, isn't it, Dave? My goodness me. There you go. I mean, if we say one thing, and I didn't mean to be some mocking, but I'm saying at least some children are not suffering tonight. And that's bad to say that. Some children are not suffering. Some children are not being handed around and moved around and molested and raped and groomed and passed around and been. And it goes on and on and on and on. You know, we maybe some peace for these kids. Peace for their souls. Bless them. Dave, yeah, that's a bit. Yeah, it had to be said, didn't it, mate?
Yeah, it did, Jeff. It is frustrating, but we are going to keep on talking about it. And yeah, you're right. And may God protect those kids and bring them some peace. And now and when this is over, because it's always going to be an issue. It's an issue here in the United States now, I'm sure. And we have to deal with it. We're going to have to deal with it. And once this is all over, once this mess is declared over anyway, I will deal with it. But now, to me, the we got a problem guy. Is one of the people that's on the side of light in this. But I want to talk about here, Jeff, a guy over here in the States that is on the side of the dark. Okay, now we've been holding on to this story for a while. Okay, you guys have been seeing this in our chat room, this picture of this guy. Okay, from March the 14th. Okay. I'm just going to read you a bit of this, okay, and then we're going to have one about a governor over here in the States that is really on the side of light, okay? So we got a couple of these here. All right, now this first one I'm going to read about here. this story, it is by Jack Nikas of the New York Times Company. That's what this says, and yes, it was put out on the 14th of March. Okay, so you guys can see how long we've been holding this, but there has been a whole lot going on as far as these this Wuhan stuff goes and everything else. But anyway, we're going to get into this. Okay, he has 17,700 bottles of hand sanitizer and nowhere to sell them. All right, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, guys, but I'm going to read some of it, some of the stuff that he says. It is just really infuriating. Okay, on March 1st, the day after the first, I'm going to replace coronavirus with Wuhan virus, death in the United States was announced, brothers Matt and Noah Colvin set out in a silver SUV to pick up some hand sanitizer. Driving around Chattanooga, Tennessee, they hit a Dollar Tree, then a Walmart, a Staples, and a Home Depot. At each store, they cleaned out the shelves. Okay? This is what these guys were doing. Over the next 3 days, Noah Colvin took a 1,300-mile road trip across Tennessee and into Kentucky, filling a U-Haul truck with thousands of bottles of hand sanitizer and thousands of packs of antibacterial wipes, mostly from, as he calls it, little hole-in-the-wall dollar stores in the backwoods. That's how his brother put it. The major metro areas were cleaned out. So this was when all the panic buying was going on. So that's what these guys were doing. They were going around the smaller places buying this stuff out. Just disgusting. Okay, now I'm going to read one more down here. Okay, Matt Colvin stayed home near Chattanooga preparing for pallets of even more wipes and sanitizer he had ordered and starting to list them on Amazon. Colvin said he had posted 300 bottles of hand sanitizer and immediately sold them all for between $8 and $70 each, multiples higher than what he had bought them for. To him, quote, it was crazy money, end quote. To many others, it was profiteering from a pandemic. All right. Now, I'm going to scroll down here a bit, guys. He did the same thing with masks and things of that nature. And then he was finally caught up with. And I'm going to just get down to where he's trying to justify himself, because the guy is truly disgusting. All right, now let's just get to this here. Colvin does not believe. Yeah, here we go, guys. Listen to this crud. Colvin does not believe he was price gouging. Well, he charged $20 on Amazon for two bottles of Purell that retail for $1 each. He said people forget that his price includes his labor, Amazon's fees, and about $10 in shipping. Alcohol-based sanitizer is pricey to ship because officials consider it a hazardous material, which, of course, it's alcohol. Of course, it's a hazardous material. Current price gouging laws, and, okay, this is what this guy says, quote, are not built for today's day and age, all right? They're built for Billy Bob's gas station, doubling the amount he charges for gas during a hurricane. He added, just because it costs $2 in the store doesn't mean it's not going to cost me $16 to get it to your door. But what about the morality of hoarding products that can prevent the spread of the virus just to turn a profit? You guys, I'm going to scroll this down because, you guys are going to love his answers to this. It's amazing. This is his answer. Colvin said he was simply fixing, quote, inefficiencies in the marketplace, end quote. Some areas of the country needed these products more than others, and he's helping send the supply toward the demand. And so it's brilliant, Jeff, how this guy actually knows the trends for people who are buying this stuff. Okay, but listen to this rest of this. Okay, there's a crushing, overwhelming demand in certain cities right now, he said. The Dollar General in the middle of nowhere outside of Lexington, Kentucky, doesn't have that. Oh, really? How about someone who lives nearby outside of Lexington, Kentucky, who just had a baby and needs those sanitary wipes and things like that because they want to keep things, you know, nice and sanitary for the baby? Anyway, he thought about it more. Oh, and you're going to love this. I honestly feel like it's a public service, he added. I'm being paid for my public service. Oh, Jeff. As for his stockpile, Colvin said he would now probably try to sell it locally. Well, he changes his mind later. If I can make a slight profit, that's fine, he said. But I'm not looking to be in a situation where I make the front page of the news, okay, for being that guy who hoarded 20,000 bottles of sanitizer that I'm selling for 20 times what they cost me. I love this. Jeff, dig this. After the New York Times published this article Saturday morning, Colvin said he was exploring ways to donate all the supplies.
Oh, what a heart. Well, I'm very surprised. Because isn't this the act that's being acted upon, which is a National Crisis Act, comes under the war article, Dave, if I remember right. So basically, I think if it wanted to be pushed, don't matter what he's done, if he's give it over and donated it. No, his old intentions was to make a big profit at the suffering of people. And this goes to the doctors and the nurses that could, you know, have run out of this this sanitising liquids and that. I would say, in my world, the way I look at it, that this low-life cretin, who's probably a Democrat, probably voted Democrat for donkey's ears, total slimeball, should be handed over to the military under the act of treason or something like that. I'm sure something could be made especially just for him and many others, because this is an act of war. What we're seeing and undertaking, the people around the globe are combating, you know, an unseen enemy. How do you feel about that, Dave? People like this should be, you know, I don't know, stuck in Gitmo for a while. I don't know. What do you think, mate?
Well, Jeff, I mean, reading that infuriates me. It really does. You've probably heard it in my voice. I mean, it's not a Christian thing to do. But to listen to this guy actually try to justify his profiteering, which you once said, it's just like being a looter. To listen to him try and justify his profiteering just makes me want to walk up to him and just get permission to hit him in the face one time. That's all I would want, would be one punch. Okay, that's all. And it's not a Christian thing to say. It's not a Christian thing to do.
He would be in a right
state,
wouldn't he?
He would be. But Jeff, what does the chat room think about this guy? Is Vorp or Biggie saying anything about him?
I'm sure that's kind of curious. I'll just read this.
Yeah.
Just bear with me, because my eyes are not that good.
All right.
My
eyes are never good.
I've bloody lost... Oh, no, it is. No, I know, mate. There was a price gouging. I don't... It is his right. It is his right. What's a price gouging? No. I do not go along with that. He's a scumbag. He hasn't got any right. Not in... When there's an act of war that the country's involved with, you do not do that. I'm sorry. I disagree 1,000%. Vulture Bites, the same cop we got the Second Amendment, because I'd shoot you laying claim to my... okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Vulture also goes on to say, eBay is the Wild West. Any price goes, exactly. Why would you target this guy? Oh, my God, it wasn't you, was it, Vault, by chance? He's going, oh, we should take the piss out of me. Act of war, laugh out loud. He sold hand sanitizer for 70. It's an act of war. You are ridiculous. I'm ridiculous because in wartime, he's going, it could cause people, as I say, to be, you know, quite poorly over not having sanitising liquids and that. He also goes on to that. America loves profiteering. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not on your side. Oh, he's not on our side.
Well,
you've got every right to... express yourself. I mean, that's what we're about here. We will let you say what you like. He says, I'm a Republican. I'm down with business. Bigfoot says, I'm sure there's good moral argument about what this guy did, not because of his price gouging, but because of his hoarding, which takes the stuff away from everyone else. And that is basically, I go along with what you're
saying. Yeah, I'll go along with that. Yeah, I'll go along with that. Yeah, and Jeff, I'm a Republican too. Okay, I'm actually really a conservative. Okay, it's not up to this guy to decide how to redistribute things. As I said, when he went to those small town dollar stores and things of that nature and snapped up all those hand sanitizers and baby wipes and all that stuff, he was only thinking about making money. It didn't even occur to him that there might be someone who, in those areas who had just had surgery. It didn't occur to him that there might be someone in those areas who just had a new baby. All right. None of that occurred to him. The only thing that occurred to him was filling his pockets. Here's the other argument.
It's an emergency. You can't do that price gouging. Full stop.
No. In World War II, they put people away for price gouging and for profiteering. Okay. So, No, this is not a wartime situation. No, it isn't. But the guy wound up not making any money, and that's just the thing. The guy's a slime ball, and we wanted to talk about this at some point, and we did, and we covered him, and that's good. That's a good thing.
Some people have got different views, but everybody. I mean, this is it. It's what it's all about. It's what we love. Love having a chat, and then some people agree, some people disagree, some people have got different views, some of the people's got the same views. It just, that's what makes chat rooms interesting and great to have, isn't it, Dave? Because we've got different views, and that's what makes the world go around. Yes, mate?
Yeah, that's right. Now, Jeff, we have time for one more story, and I think this is a really good one. This one is another guy serving the light. Okay. Now we know that next Sunday is Easter, and there are a lot of people over here in the United States and around the world that are the first thing they did when this Wuhan virus thing happened. Aside from closing up so many other things in society, they told the churches that they had to close. But there's one governor over here in the United States who has made a different decision and is going along a different course, despite people in his own state trying to fight him over it. Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to play this one. This one is just shy of 4 minutes long. You ready for this one?
Yeah, let's go for it, Dave.
All right, guys. This one came from the first, okay, and it's from Breitbart. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Texas Governor Abbott, Church in Essential Service. Practice Social Distancing, by Penny Starr on April 1, 2020. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has signed an executive order that makes churches an essential service, as protocols are being put in place across the country during the coronavirus pandemic. Abbott included language to encourage online worship services and told church leaders and parishioners to practice social distancing to prevent the spread of the virus if they do gather for services. Abbott said in an interview reported on by Click2 Houston, I'm unaware of a church that would want its constituents, its parishioners, to be exposed to COVID-19, and I think there's enough public information right now for them to be aware of the practices that are needed to make sure that their members don't contract COVID-19. Click2 Houston reported on a press conference Abbott held. There has been controversy, particularly in the Houston area, over church closures in response to the coronavirus pandemic. Pastors are in court challenging a stay-at-home order that Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo announced a week ago that restricts churches to online-only services. To that end, Abbott's latest executive order supersedes any conflicting order issued by local officials. At the news conference, Abbott said local officials can still issue more stringent restrictions than the statewide standard as long as they do not conflict with that standard. Law360.com also reported on the legal battle over church services. The executive order, which also extends school closures statewide through May 4th, comes one day after Fox News guest commentator Dr. Stephen Hotz and three Houston pastors asked the Texas Supreme Court to declare unconstitutional a March 24th order from Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo barring in-person religious services. The circumstances presented by coronavirus do not excuse unlawful government infringements upon freedom. Hotz argued in the emergency petition for writ of mandamus filed with the state's high court on Monday. Urgent First and Second Amendment issues of immense statewide significance, arising from the largest county in Texas and affecting residents throughout the Lone Star State, are presented here. If religious services cannot be conducted from home or through remote services, they should be conducted consistent with the guidelines from the President and the Centers for Disease Control by practicing good hygiene, environmental cleanliness, and sanitation, and by implementing social distancing to prevent the spread of COVID-19, the order reads. Jared Woodfill of Woodfill Law Firm PC, which represents Hotz and the pastors, told Law 360 on Tuesday that the ball is now in Hidalgo's court. The big question now is what does Judge Hidalgo do? Woodfill said. Is she going to ignore the governor and his comments or abide by them and amend her order? Law360.com report A. Woodfill said because this lawsuit presents a matter of statewide importance, he took it straight to the Texas Supreme Court, but should the court decline to take it, he's already preparing several state court lawsuits to challenge the order in Harris County, as well as the orders in Dallas, Montgomery, and Fort Bend counties. The legal website reported the pastors that joined in the plea to the state's high court are Juan Bustamante of City on a Hill Church, George Garcia of Power of Love Church, and David Valdez of World Faith Center of Houston Church. Bustamante alleged in the Law360.com article that a Houston police officer threatened him with jail and a $1,000 fine if he did not stop preaching the gospel to his congregation, according to the petition. Follow Penny Star on Twitter.
And there you go, guys.
Well, we'll explore. We can always explore more about that story on our next show. As I say, we are running close to the bar this evening, Dave. But as I say, it's so strange the times we live that you can't take the church away from the people. I mean, they can't stop us at worship. I mean, you know, okay, maybe just keep your distance. Sanitize your hands, keep simple. You know, I mean, it's just do these things. I mean, everybody wants God in their life at the moment. Yeah, there's some people that don't believe, but that's their problem, isn't it? But there's a lot of people that do. There's a lot of people that do. There's a lot of people that's losing loved ones, have not even got a time to say goodbye to them. They can't see them. I mean, how heartbreaking has that got to be? You've got to have God in your life. Something to lean, somebody to lean on in these times. But Dave, as I say once again, thank you for your great work this evening and all that you do. Thank you for being here. And of course, my our dear friend Bigfoot. It just makes things interesting. Thank you so much, God. But Dave, your final thoughts, brother, before we say good night and God bless the great people out there, our listeners. Dave?
Right, yeah. And first of all, it's just going to be very short. I am completely behind Governor Abbott. I'm proud to have been born and raised in Texas where they elected such a great governor, and I am completely behind him. We need Easter. This is the biggest day on the Christian calendar. And yes, if people practice common sense, I think they can be in the same church together. And yes, I think that it is evil and satanic for the left to try and take that over. Now, I'm just going to give my finals here. Everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. The show times here are going to be 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, in the United States, and at 6 p.m. in the U.K. on those days, and midnight Saturdays in the United States Eastern, and 5 a.m. Saturdays in the UK. And by the way, you guys are listening to this show here. You'll be listening to it in late May. And that is going to be because I already have my series, The Way Back, in and ready to go at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. If you're listening to this show and it's late May and everything, go back and listen to that series. It may be the most important podcast you will ever hear. That's going to happen after my 7th anniversary show, which is coming up, all right, on the 11th. I just want to say, Jeff, to the foot soldiers, to the angels, to the freedom fighters everywhere who are fighting even while this unseen enemy is doing what it's doing. I just want to say to them, and of course to the first responders, the doctors, the nurses, the people working out there in the stores, and all the people who serve their community, okay, and are not trying to shut our communities down. Be prosperous and be blessed and be safe out there, okay? And most of all, Jeff, no surrender. Back to you, brother.
No surrender to no pandemic, whatever it's called, woo-woo. And that's it, Dave, spot on. But yeah, as I say, guys, we will be back again on another show and more stories. And so we'll see you then. To the guys in the chat room, thank you for joining myself and Dave this evening, guys. All bye-bye and Bigfoot. Really appreciate it. Bless you both. You keep safe out there, okay? And to the wider world. Oh, she's telling me, oh, you've got 90 seconds. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. And for everybody out there, keep safe, okay? Keep safe. You know, this will be over in not too distant future. Amen. We're going underground. Here we go, guys.
Good night, Jen. Let me go. Everybody in the UK.
People might say that I should strive for more. But I'm so happy. I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, than the mine. My New Zealand friends will start to make friends. And the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as I hate me, I've done enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. Me here for what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't waste your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
There you go, and that was another show that went very quick last there. It's just, I think it's so great tonight. But yeah, myself and Dave, we'll see you again. You stay safe out there, guys, and you're probably like me, you're like Dave, we're in this lockdown, but it won't last forever. Just keep safe. All the time you're indoors, you're not going to catch it, you're not going to spread it, and this is the best thing to do. But we're all in the same boat. A third of the world is doing exactly what we're all doing. So, just think, we'll get there. We will get there. So, anyway, take care. God bless you all. This is the English Defence League radio show. Saying good night and signing off for this evening. So, for myself, for Dave, and once again, Dave, thanks again for the great strides and the great script tonight. Brilliant, man. Absolutely brilliant. This is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight. We'll see you Thursday, guys. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye.
Now, extras that help you navigate the new media world.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
Southern Sense is conservative talk with Annie, the radio chick you bellas as host, and C.S. Bennett, co-host. Informative, fun, irreverent, and politically incorrect. You never know where they'll go, but you'll love the journey. Annie is a top conservative host on Top Talk Radio and features some of the finest guests packed with important politicians and newsmakers. Listen every Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, on the SHR Media Network. Remember, Southern Sense is common sense.
It's your business diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truths on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule. The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York. The Lid himself, Jeff Dummett. Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com and Lid Radio. We fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen, Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss. It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dunnitz.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
Good evening. Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show is featured on the SHR Media Network every Tuesday and Thursday night for 2 hours at 11 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Pacific. Whilst manufacturers are running out of metal for the diapers of the leftists, BZ continues to radically change the world of leftists, one diaper at a time. Stop balancing your checkbooks. Stop cleaning your fish tanks. The Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show is your magnet for truth, justice, obesity, a darkened studio, and late-night freedom. No United States of America freedoms were abridged in the making of this ad.
This is Shannon Wright.
And this is Michael Wright.
Reminding you to listen
to The Right Way with Shannon and Mike.
Every Monday through Thursday.
7 to 9 a.m.
Right here on SHRmedia.com.
Join me, Jack Alexander, for the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast, as I take a unique outsider's look at the issues affecting the USA. I fearlessly take on the issues that everyone else is too scared to touch. The Jack Alexander Experiment podcast is available wherever good podcasts can be found, like Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcast. The Jack Alexander Experiment, because it's not a matter of left versus right, it's a matter of right versus wrong.
After 6 years covering terror and corruption, the Unpleasant Blind Guy is making a change. I'm Dave Milner. Join me on Spreaker and YouTube through SHR Media and on the Western Free Radio Network as I team up with Jeff Mitchell, host of the English Defense League radio show on blogtalkradio.com. Check show pages for airtimes. It's the Unpleasant Blind Guy.
On EDL Radio,
there's
no surrender, ever.
Because truth is not always pleasant.
Featuring the effervescent contrarian Sackheads Clint, plus the unrestrained bulbosity of BZ, the Sackheads Against Tyranny is a real chat show. Doubling your late-night conservative talk show pleasure with double the hosts, you can listen every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. Please note, some contents may have settled during shipping. Member FDIC, batteries not included, warranty void in Montenegro.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
The dream deferred is real. You've been waiting for the Exceptional Conservative Network, and now it's here. Go to the ExceptionalConservativeShow.com. Tune in and get the best in urban conservative talk. Stop dreaming. It's real.